Two. Bridging with Shiva, lesson 258, Finding Your Guru. I am often asked, when one feels it's time to travel the spiritual path, do you recommend he aggressively seek a guru or passively wait and see what happens? When one is ready to swim, he should. Again. When one is ready to swim, should he walk around the swimming pool? Or should he dive in and get on with it? Naturally, he should dive in and take each thing that comes along in a very positive way. That's the thing to do. Otherwise, in waiting and putting it into the intellectual mind, all the different doubts come up and make a big fog, which again, he has to live through. He missed his timing. A guru-disciple relationship is so central in Hinduism. A guru is a helper on the spiritual path. Again, a guru is a helper on the inner path. Visualize a rocky stream path leading up a high mountain. A guru is there to help you over some... Again. The guru is there to help you over some of the big boulders and through the swamps, and to send out a scout to help you back on the inner path if you... Again. On the inner path if you become externalized. You don't need a guru... Again. You don't need a sadguru all the time. Most of it you have to do yourself, after you've had his grace and learned the rules. But he's there. When you need him inwardly, he is just there, and that is reassuring. Do everything that you possibly can for your guru. The guru is like the wind. You may not always have him as close to you, so throw yourself into his work selflessly. He has a mission that came to him from his guru and from, again. He has a mission that came to him from his guru and his guru's guru. It is your mission in this life too. Realization of the self God within and helping others do the same.
Can we do that again? We kind of missed the from realization.
Okay. Again. It is your mission in this life too. Realization of the self God within and helping others do the same. I have been asked many times, how does one choose a guru? Well, if you are in a crowd of people and you hadn't seen your mother and father for 5 or 10 years, you would immediately know them. You could pick them out of a large crowd. You'd immediately know, not necessarily by how they looked, but by the vibration. You'd immediately know. And so, it is within the guru.
The guru.
Again, and so, it is with the guru. There are, shall we say, commercial gurus. Pick a guru, here a guru, there a guru. A guru in the classical sense of the word. Again, a guru in the classical sense of the word doesn't have a great many devotees. He might have a lot of people who think he is really great, especially if he chants well, or if he does something that's outstanding.
Or does something.
He might have a lot of people who think he's really great, especially if he chants well or does something that is outstanding. It's easy to get a lot of followers. Traditionally, a guru can only take a few close disciples, and he generally does. If you're looking for a guru, try to feel his vibration. Better still, talk to his students and see if they've had it again. Better still, talk to his students to see if they've had any substance again. Yeah. Better still, talk to his students to see if they have any substance. Ask them, have you had any inner experience? If they start talking about everything, telling you all about it, or trying to convert you, be cautious. On the other hand, if they look content within themselves and test you out a little to see if you are sincere, again, to see if you are sincere, you know that they're taught to be wise. Look at the students. See how they interact among themselves. Observe closely what they do. Note how disciplined they are. Note how well disciplined they are. In this way, you get to know the caliber of the man who is their Satguru. Find out who his guru is and where the line of darshan power comes from. Then you get to know, to really know. Don't be too hasty in picking your guru. That is the best advice. Maybe it's not for you in this life to have a guru. Maybe next life, or the next life after that. Again, maybe next life, or the life after that. There's no hurry. And yet there is a great sense of urgency on the spiritual path, a great sense of urgency. Don't go hunting for a guru. Just be alert enough to know when you encounter him. How does one know whether an inner experience is real or imaginary? Well, we don't have to go very far in answering that question, because everyone has inner experiences. Two people are in love. They fight. They separate. That's an inner experience. And it's real, isn't it? That emotion, that tearing apart, those wonderful mental arguments where nobody quite wins, they are all real. Even such an argument is an inner experience, but more of an, but of a more externalized, instinctive, intellectual, or gross nature. Yet, it's very real. It shakes the muscles. It can even make us perspire. It lives within us. It could keep us awake at night, or give us disturbing dreams. It's a real and a vital experience. We have to go through these grosser inner experiences first before our inner life becomes more refined. They are just as real, seeing light within the body. Again, they are just as real, seeing light within the body, light within the head, and hearing the inner sounds. All of the things you have read about come to you after you have gone through the inner experiences. All of the things you have read about come to you after you have gone through the inner experiences of the instinctive and intellectual mind. First, we go through our inner instinctive experiences. First, we go through our inner instinctive experiences, then our intellectual experiences, then our intuitive or creative experiences. Finally, we come to the self, which we realize is the totality of all inner experiences. Which we realize is the totality of all inner experiences, being beyond experience itself. Om Namah Shivaya.